Greet you in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one. Good morning. Another wonderful day to worship, to gather and share in our love for God. I feel like I did this recently, but I'm going to do it again. I want to find out how happy you are. So if you're not very happy, don't put your hand up at all. If you're kind of happy, put it up part way. And if you're really happy, put it all the way up. Go ahead. Okay. Well, I think some people here need a good feet washing. The message this morning is on one of the greatest object lessons of all time, and that is our ordinance of feet washing. And Jesus said, if you know about practicing feet washing, you'll be happy if you do it. So, how can we, maybe this morning we'll figure out how to be happier people, and it's not just about having clean feet and about making sure my brother has clean feet. It's about a lot more than that. I think that feet washing is one of the deepest ordinances. They all have a lot of meaning. But there is something so personal and so real about taking off your shoes and your socks and letting your brother or sister wash your feet. I'm glad this morning that I can preach this message in a congregation where there's peace. It would be tough to preach in a place where there was a lot of turmoil and interpersonal problems, because it is such a personal ordinance. Just a reminder, there are three reasons that I believe it's so important to teach these ordinances, these basic principles. And first of all is, I want you to be happy, and God wants you to be happy. And Jesus says of feet washing specifically, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And I've said this in the first two messages I preached on the ordinances, that Jesus connects these three things: know, or perceive and understand, plus do, equals happiness. And how we perceive these deep truths brings happiness in our obedience of them. And how are we going to understand if we don't ever hear teaching, or if we don't study it for ourselves? Secondly, there are a lot of false teachers out there who will either tell you that these things are not important, or they will teach you a meaning that our forefathers were martyred for standing against in a lot of these. And I believe that the very best way to know false teaching, to identify false teaching, is to know the truth, to know the real. And so we study the ordinances to be able to identify the real. And thirdly, it's important to know what we believe and why, because ideas have consequences. The way we think works out in our lives, and it creates differences in our community. It makes a difference. What we believe in here bears fruit in our life, and a doctrine is only as good as the fruit it bears. And so as we study our ordinance and practice of feet washing, there are two things that really stand out. First of all is the desire coming from a heart that is turned toward obeying Christ. And secondly, is it producing change in our lives besides clean feet? Because it better would. And any object lesson is only as good as the truth we understand from it. And as I studied for this, I was trying to think of a way to really bring out the meaning of feet washing. And then I realized that this ordinance, of course, is an object lesson in itself. And so we don't need to add anything to it. But I do want to take a minute or two and just think about washing feet. And we're going to write some words on the board that you associate with feet washing. And these don't have to be religious words. Just What words? What's in your mind as you think of washing feet?
Water.
Water.
Warm water.
Warmth. Okay.
Servant.
Did I hear someone say love? Okay.
Humility.
Brotherhood.
Closeness.
Openness. We're missing some. What was it? Towel?
Towel.
It's kind of interesting that we can go all through a list on washing something and miss dirt, right? Dirt should be associated with feet washing, I think. And cleansing, cleaning. Put that up here. Okay, that's a pretty good list. What about bowing? We bow to wash feet. Willing. Does anybody force you to get on your knees and wash their feet? Don't say it here, but I can maybe talk to you privately if that's happening.
What about kiss?
Okay, that's for a different message. So, but yeah, we practice the holy kiss at that time. Hospitality. Hospitality, we'll get into that a little later. And according to Jesus, happiness should be associated with it. Rest, travel. If you never go anywhere, your feet probably won't get dirty. They might smell sweaty. These are some things that I thought of. Feet washing is such a real object lesson. There's so much reality. And if we were in a less clean culture, we would have even more realities like smell. You get that close to someone with dirty feet and you'll know you're close to it because of the smell. There's feelings that go along with getting your feet washed. And so these are all things that I want us to think about as we go through the message. And one that nobody mentioned is pleasant. You should know that pleasant and happy are not synonyms necessarily. So, feet washing recognizes real dirtiness in earthly life, but it doesn't settle for dirtiness. It reaches for cleanness. Feet washing demands a change in posture. It takes effort. It's not necessarily pleasant. And as was mentioned, it requires us to be open and trusting of our brethren on the part of one being washed, and so much more. So I've titled the message, Feet Washing, Humility, Hospitality, and Happiness. I have two texts. The first one is probably not where you think I would start, but I'm going to begin in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. And one thing that we'll see as we go through the message is that feet washing is all about Christ. When we get to John 13, you'll see he makes this doctrine all about himself. And it's not prideful at all. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now to John 13, 1 to 17, where Jesus institutes this ordinance. These are Jesus' last hours alive. And what he wanted us to do, one thing that he wanted to get across to his disciples before he left was that they would wash each other's feet. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And so we see here that the core of feet washing is Christ's example for us. He says, I have given you this pattern or this example that you should do as I have done. And where did that example and pattern spring from? It came from the mind of Christ, where he was willing to make himself a servant and to become a man. And as I said before, Jesus makes feet washing all about himself in John 13, and rightly so, because he is Emmanuel. He is God and man. And that's still, to me, it's almost an almost unbelievable and a totally unexplainable mystery how God could stuff himself into the body of a baby and grow to be a man and experience life as one of us and be tempted like as we are, but sinless. And then return to his divinity at the Father's right hand. And so this ordinance is about Christ. It's about the divine's ability to serve. It's about the ability to take what seems impossible to humans and turn it into a servant of mankind. And it's based in a strong security of knowledge and belonging. And I find here in verse 3 of chapter 13, of course, John mentioned this. This was instituted by Christ from such a position of security. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that's one thing he knew, that he was come from God and that he went to God. Those three things were the key to the security that Christ had to be able to kneel and wash feet of people who were below him. One was the Father had given him all authority. The second was that he originated in God. He had come from God. And third was that even though he was a man at the moment, his humanity was only temporary, and glory and honor awaited him. And from the security of that knowledge, that's what allowed him to make himself of no reputation, to lay aside his divinity, to lay aside his rights, and to kneel and or to bow and wash the feet of his servants. There in Philippians 2, it says that Christ emptied himself and then he took upon him the form of a servant. And I believe that there's a lot more in there, of course, than the King of Kings bowing to wash feet. But that's part of it. When Jesus bowed to his disciples to wash their feet, he is saying, even though I am King of Kings, I am here to meet every need you may have. I willingly put myself here for whatever you need. And that's humility beyond humility. The living Word, his power, created the worlds, galaxies, universes, DNAs, your living soul, and eternity. Thousands upon thousands of heavenly beings can't stop shouting, "Holy, holy, holy," in worship of Christ. Eternity will be all about him. And yet, he knelt to touch the dirt on his disciples' feet. Humility. And he says, "I am your Lord and Master, but I have washed your feet, and you should do likewise. Follow me in my example of humility." We go to 1 Peter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Peter was the only one in this group who cried out against the injustice of Jesus washing his feet. "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And Jesus said, of course, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me." And so Peter submitted to that. But that lesson sank so deep into his heart that when he set out here in 1 Peter 5 to describe relationships between leadership and brethren in the church and whatever, he uses this picture: be clothed with humility. And that phrase in the Greek would have been "wrap yourself in a servant's apron." You think he was thinking of Jesus wrapped in a towel, clothing laid aside, or at least his coat laid aside, and kneeling there, making himself less than, willingly placing himself in a position of servanthood, wrapping that towel, clothing himself in humility. And he says, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So when it looked like Jesus was demeaning himself, he was actually earning eternal glory and living in the Father's favor. And that is the core teaching of feet washing. That is what washing each other's feet means. It means having a humble servant heart. How many problems in families and churches and in the world would go away if we had the security in Christ to be that humble and that serving? If we had the love to be that caring? Dads and moms, do you have that kind of servant heart for your children? Husbands for your wives, wives for your husbands, school teachers for your students, employers for your employees, ministers for your congregation, willing to kneel and say, "Whatever you need done, I'll do it." "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation," or he emptied himself and this feet washing ordinance is a reminder to us that in Christ's kingdom, the great ones serve, the great ones give, the great ones honor, the great ones love. We probably all know that verse in Proverbs where it says, only by pride cometh contention. And what that means is that where this kind of humble servant heart reigns, quarreling and strife disappear. Pride brings those fights. Humility brings unity and closeness. Jesus himself had, let me back up a little, don't get me wrong, we are still in a fight against sin. There will be disagreements. And Jesus himself had strife with the religious elite of the day. But it was a fight between good and evil, between right and wrong, and not just fighting for authority or position or control. That's the kind of things that go away when you have a servant heart. And so I wonder sometimes, has the ordinance done us any good? We still have the practice, but how many churches end in or fly to pieces in just splinters over authority and influence and control? And of course we know that washing someone's feet can never prove that you're humble. But done rightly, it is an outward sign of a servant heart inside. And like Jesus showed us, it's not a sign of low self-esteem or low self-worth, but it's security in who I am in Christ that allows me to willingly put myself under. And that's what he says there when he says, all of you be subject one to another. It's a security in Christ that lets me, gives me the confidence to make myself worthless in a sense, or a servant, a slave. And it's so interesting to me that Jesus follows up this teaching on feet washing with a rebuke of the spiritual condition of some present. He says, you're not all clean. And that makes it obvious that feet washing is both a spiritual and a physical ordinance. And we know, it's very clear that this is about more than making sure my brother has clean feet. But from that security that we have in Christ, we can kneel or bow to our brother and sister and recognize sin and dirt in their lives and say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help you get over this. That's the spirit of Galatians where he says, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That servant attitude recognizes that we didn't deserve Christ's blood any more than our brother did. And so we can forgive offenses and hurts in a sense, wash my brother's feet. Release him from those things that I tend to think that he should have to pay for. And on the flip side, feet washing takes two people. We don't wash our own. And so it means a willingness to take our own shoes and socks off and let our brothers see the grime that's there and let them scrub and trust them. Trust their judgment when they say, that dirt on your feet is defiling the house. It needs to be washed. Feet washing is the ordinance of humility. And secondly, hospitality. Genesis 18, I could have read a lot of scriptures about this, but this is the one I chose. Hospitality is the oldest meaning of feet washing. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. This is Genesis 18, and it's talking about Abraham. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash ye your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. So here we see that feet washing is a welcome. It's a rest. It's make yourself at home. It's saying you belong here with me. And it might seem odd to use an Old Testament passage to define a New Testament ordinance. But when Jesus got out the basin and the towel, his disciples would have automatically thought of the custom they had of meeting guests at the door with a basin and a towel. The only thing strange about it was who was doing the washing. And that was the Lord and Master doing the washing instead of the servant. So as we know, everyone back then would have worn sandals or gone barefoot. They didn't have paved roads. Everybody's feet were filthy. And when you got to someone's house, they showed you respect by maybe they'd have you sit on a little bench and a servant would bring a basin of water and a towel and they'd wash your feet so that you could walk through the house without making everything dirty. If you wanted to demean someone and make them feel like an outsider, you refused to wash their feet. We see that in Luke 7, verse 44, where Jesus praises the woman of the city and says, "You wash my feet with your hair." And he told Simon, "You didn't even give me water to wash my feet." And so we see what Simon was doing there is showing his power over Jesus and making him feel and look like an outcast. And so feet washing is hospitality. Jesus hints at this in John 13, verse 8, where he says, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." The washing made Peter included in the group. And so, when we wash feet, we recognize that we are in the Father's house, that we belong there, and we extend that privilege to our brother and say, "You belong here, even if your feet got dirty on the way. Welcome. You have a part with Christ who has washed you, and I will do you the honor of cleaning your feet so you can live here confidently. You'll be well taken care of here." And finally, of course, feet washing is the ordinance of happiness. Recently, I said something about God wanting us to be happy, and two brothers that I love and trust very much said they said that's wrong, that God doesn't want us to be happy. Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree. God wants people to be happy, or else he wouldn't have said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Now, happiness isn't his primary objective for humanity. And it's not happiness like the world often defines happiness. But if we understand the deep meanings of washing feet, it'll make us happy. And God wants us to be happy. And this is his recipe. Find security in me and in what I have made you. Rejoice and revel in the truth of where you've come from and where you're going because of Christ. And then use that security to live and think and act in humility, serving and honoring and sanctifying your brothers and sisters. And I don't know if those of you that have children notice this as much as I do, but my children are never more miserable than when they can only think of themselves. And they're never more happy than when they can willingly do things for others. And that does not change. Happiness comes from humble service. That's what I believe Christ means when he says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." It's a heart that unites and welcomes brothers and sisters to God's family. It's a heart that's not content to allow sin or dirt in the house of God, but instead of judging, bows to wash, willing to do what it takes to bring sanctification and restoration and oneness. And when you know and understand humble service, you'll be genuinely happy. It's not that empty smile and drunken laughter that the world calls happiness, but deep joy that carries you through hard times, like Jesus had. The joy set before him carried him through. It's peace that's beyond understanding. It's security in your faith in Christ. And it's the deep happiness that Jesus calls, or that the King James Version translates blessed in the Beatitudes. It's the happiness of being poor in spirit, but knowing that the kingdom of heaven is yours. of knowing grief and pain, but being comforted, of meekness, but knowing you inherit the earth, of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, but being filled, of showing mercy and receiving mercy, of seeking purity and finding God. It's happiness of making peace and finding belonging in God's family. Anyone can wash feet, but it takes the mind of Christ to do it the way that he did. So will you wrap yourself in the apron of a servant and discover the grace of God? Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a pattern that you should do as I have done to you. If you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. Let's pray.